You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again. Dave Kellner rejoined by Dave Tindall here in the studio this week as we get stuck into the first event in the FedEx Cup Series. We've got the Northern Trust Open to look forward to. First of all, welcome back to Dave, who's sitting opposite me here in the studio. Dave, it's a pleasure to have your company.
Thank you. Yes, I've been away for a week. At a place.
It felt like much longer then.
Well, at a place with no Wi-Fi.
Well, that's good sometimes, isn't it?
You tell that to my children.
So you wouldn't have seen any of the golf last week. Did you completely...
No, I did a bit.
Were you off the reservation completely?
I came back on the weekend.
Okay.
Because the holiday had ended, not because they couldn't go on without Wi-Fi.
Was it a bit of both, though?
Yeah, they saw things like fields and the beach and stuff.
What do people do without Wi-Fi now?
Well, they go back to what we used to do, Dave. Well,
kicking a ball against a wall.
Yeah, ball and a hoop and a stick. I played a golf course, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yes, right on the Northumberland coast.
Was it a nine-holer, a par three, or was it a full...
It was a nine-holer, but it was very, very nice.
Oh, good.
And if I can remember the name, I'll tell you.
And how did you play?
It was very windy. It was kind of all the holes were wind behind going out, and then even though it's nearly nine, and then up behind you coming in. So I played better coming in, surprisingly.
You're back for the Northern Trust Open, which we'll get to very shortly. But last week we had the Wyndham Championship, and JT Poston put on a bit of a clinic. No bogeys the entire week to win. Final round 62 and got the job done from Webb Simpson, who started Sunday poorly. And a lot of the conversation on the Twitter machine before last week, you'll have missed all this without any Wi-Fi, was whether Simpson was good value or not good value.
What was he, about 11s?
Yeah, he went off about 9-1. I think right. He was pretty well backed at 10-1. But that was the majority of the conversation was about Simpson's price going into the week. And to a large extent, he justified the short price, finishing just a shot second. And if he hadn't have started so poorly on Sunday, he might have won the event, despite Poston's brilliance in that final round.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of 9-10-1 shots go. Webb Simpson in the Wyndham is probably as solid as you're ever going to get. I mean, his record's daft, isn't it? Is that the third straight top three, and he's had a win and other top fives and stuff. So if you were, I don't know whether it got described as an each way bet to nothing at some point, but it would have been a fair call. And it, absolutely no surprise, was it, to see him? So probably the least surprising thing of the year to see him in contention. And he just got outplayed by one guy, basically, didn't he?
Yep. And we had the Women's Open Championship as well. Remarkable story. Hinako Shibuno winning, draining a 20-25 footer on the last, which was going at least 6 or 7 feet by, rattled the back of the cup to score her first ever tournament outside of Japan. First major start. Just incredible.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you wonder how that sort of thing can happen. I suppose if you're trying to think, would that ever happen in the men's game? But well, Keegan Bradley won his first ever major start at a USPGA. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of that thing, they go into it no pressure at all, and if it's your week, you can just sort of ride it out. And yeah, it was just an amazing performance by her.
I think the difference with Keegan Bradley is people had heard of Keegan Bradley.
Yeah,
I don't think even the most avid follower of the women's game had really highlighted Hinako Shibuno as a star of the future.
Are we all now going to wear smiling Cinderella t-shirts?
Possibly.
It's a good nickname, isn't it?
It's a very good nickname. And because the game of golf is so big in Japan and they love supporting their stars as well, her star has ascended right to the top so quickly. And you can imagine the media coverage over there is crazy.
I think so. It's one of our sort of Twitter friends, Sundog Monkey. Do you follow him?
Yes.
Yeah. He's actually put up Hideki Matsuyama kind of using that theory that he would have. But my question, I quite like things like that, little snippets.
Yeah.
But with him, I wonder how much notice he's taken, because I remember at Hoylake, he had not heard of the Beatles.
Really?
He was asked, which is your favourite? He'd never heard of them. Do you not? What do you want?
You find that very
furious.
Offensive, don't you? Yeah.
I know you've got a terrible music knowledge, but you've heard of the Beatles, surely. But that was just, Bubba could name like one of them. And it's just like, I was just shaking my head. But to not even have heard of them, that's some cultural void, isn't it?
Yeah,
how do you manage to do that?
This will resonate more with Hideki Matsuyama than the Beatles in Liverpool.
I don't think he reads papers. Yeah, but I've been to Japan and there's a lot of Beatles stuff everywhere, to be fair.
That's true.
It's quite, you know, they're really into their kind of Western English culture, especially the Beatles.
Yeah.
I've never got over that.
Let's talk about this week, and we'll talk a bit about the Tour Championship and the format they've concocted for the Tour Championship very shortly as well.
Which, I like the three tournaments. I like that bit because you...
Cutting it down one.
Yeah, because you cut out one and you cut out the rest week when everyone's just sort of, you know, clicking their heels, wondering what to do. But there's a TV programme called The Krypton Factor, Dave. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, where in the last event it was like an obstacle course, and those who built up more points started ahead.
Yep.
And it kind of worked like that. But can you not just see about 20 players being tailed off fairly soon?
Well, yeah, that's my reservation. Yeah. And that's something that Billy Horschel was on the Skycar, and he was asked by Tim Barter about the format for the Tour Championship. And he said it should be, yes, there should be an advantage for those that are ranked 1, 2, 3, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be 10 shots. So at the moment, if things stay the way they are at the moment, which they won't, things will change in the next 2 weeks, obviously. Tiger Woods would be giving Brooks Koepka 10 shots looking to defend his title at Eastlake, which seems ludicrous.
It'd almost be more fun to reverse it and make the best players handicap them a bit.
Yeah, I understand it's a season-long competition, the FedEx Cup Series, so there's got to be some advantage for those that have played the best golf throughout the season.
Yeah.
But maybe make it a little bit tighter, say 5 shots, and then give everyone a chance. And that's what Horschel said in the Skycar.
Yeah, I think that might be the compromise. I mean, it is a kind of moving thing, isn't it? And they've changed it and tweaked it down the year. So I think maybe next year they'll realise that, you know, it's 30 players as it is, and if 15 of them are dead after day two, it's not much of a spectacle, is it?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think 10 shots is too much, basically. Brooks Koepka is the favourite. Speaking of Brooks Koepka, he's the favourite for this week's event, as you would expect, the Northern Trust, and he's 8-1 with William Hill. Rory McIlroy, 11-1. DJ Dustin Johnson, 16s, along with John Rahm. Justin Thomas is 18-1. Justin Rose is 20s. Ricky Fowler, 22s. Webb Simpson, 22s. Tommy Fleetwood, 22s. Patrick Cantlay, 22s. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. And they're playing at Liberty National this week. And as we edge closer to the Tour Championship at Eastlake, this course caused a little bit of controversy when the golfers first visited back in 2009. It's a converted landfill site that overlooks the Liberty statue. And an unnamed professional said after the event that he wished they'd left it as a landfill site. But they worked on it between that Barclays in 2009 and the addition in 2013, and the changes received positive feedback. The rough was trimmed down, and the event was aided, I think, by soft conditions too. It's still a pretty decent test for these players, though, this week. It's not a venue that you can fake it round, and it hosted the President's Cup in 2017 as well, so we've got a little bit of form to have a look at as far as the course is concerned.
Yeah, it's bent grass greens, as you say. Didn't it come last in one of those polls that were or best ranked the courses on tour, and that was like way down. But as you said, that was probably the first year.
That was in 2009, and then they have made changes.
They have listened, haven't they?
They have listened.
Yeah, so I think that's less of an issue. I suppose...
But sometimes in that regard, you think it's just pampered professionals, isn't
it? Yeah.
Too tough for them.
Possibly, but I think when they're all sort of complaining, there is something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
I think with this, even though there's only course form 2 years worth in terms of this event, this event tends to be played around the New Jersey, New York area. And I think that overall form holds up quite well of what you're looking for this week.
Okay.
I looked at a lot of the strokes gained stats of the winners. I mean, if you look at the winners here, DeChambeau, DJ, Patrick Reed, Jason Day, Hunter Mahan when he was good, Adam Scott, all those, and that was held at a variety of courses around the area, all six of those finished in the top five for strokes gained tee to green when they won.
Yep.
So I think it is ball striking heaven, isn't it, this week? And the putting can kind of, you can sort of carry it along with you. Especially, I looked at the 2013 stats, and it's even more biased that way, I think, that strokes gained tee to green is a lot stronger than putting.
Yeah, the greens are tough, pretty severe. Bent grass greens, as you mentioned. We might see a few three putts this week, but you mentioned ball striking there, and given that the 10 water hazards really come into play at the course, and it's heavily bunkered as well, and these aren't resort-type bunkers. These are pretty difficult bunkers, speaking relatively to the PGA Tour. I think ball striking, tee to green play is going to be pretty important this week.
Yeah, just to give you the exact details of 2013. So the top five finishers there, strokes gained tee to green rank that week, were 2nd, 13th, 1st, 9th and 7th.
Yeah.
Putting wise, 33rd, 16th, 54th, 22nd, 29th. So it's a pretty clear split, that one. So if you've... we were talking about Victor Hovland, weren't we? He was playing.
Yeah,
do you enlighten everybody on that, why he isn't playing?
Yeah, basically, the points he picked up as an amateur don't count into the FedEx Cup Series. So even though he's had some top finishes since turning professional, including last week, had a couple of actually each way bets that hit the frame last week.
Nice one,
Matt Cooper came on again, and he nearly gave back-to-back winners after Shane Lowry in the Open Championship put up Webb Simpson strongly and obviously finished second, and I put up Victor Hovland at 28-1 and he finished in a clear fourth last week. But basically, the Hovland points that he picked up as an amateur don't count into the FedEx Cup race, so he's not managed to make the top 1-2-5 there, even though he's posted some good events or good finishers since his turn professional, which the USGA have announced. I think it is basically the Victor Hovland ruling.
Yeah.
So this doesn't happen again. They will change that in the
Hovland's law.
Yeah, in the future, because Hovland is going to have to go to the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, which is in, and post a top 25 there to get his card full privileges for next season, which I think he will do.
Probably will, but what if he's like got a cold? What if he's not so well? You know, it seems a shame that...
It does. I think that he'll end up
He'll
end up picking up the points and sponsors it. Yeah. I'm not worried about Victor Hovland's future.
No, that's fair to say. Although you are a little bit worried about his putting, weren't you? That's why I sort of raised the point.
Yeah, he didn't put well enough to quite... I mean, he only finished three shots back in the end, but his ball striking is just unbelievable. And it was when he finished tied 12th at the US Open, led the field in strokes gained tee to green, and to do that as an amateur, he's the one, I think, out of those youngsters.
That's debate, yes.
Yeah, he's the one for me at the moment.
Nick Faldo was sort of wowed by the way, just swishes that driver away, and it's got straight as well.
I think early on in that round he was a little bit too aggressive because he just loves pulling driver, and he's so good off the tee that he can overpower some of these golf courses. So it'll be interesting to see in the fall series events how he performs.
Although when we do come to our tips, we might just revisit one of that group of young superstars.
How many tips have you got?
Just two.
Okay, I've got two as well, so I'll let you go first.
Yeah, this one is very, very straightforward. Webb Simpson again.
Okay, 22-1.
Yeah, I mean, the current form we probably all know about. But if you do stretch it back to the Canadian Open in June, he's got 3 second places in his last 5 starts. So that's stellar form. Even his other 2 performances in that run, 16th at the US Open, 30th at Royal Portrush. So he's in fantastic form. Tee to green stats I'm looking for this week, and he's in the top 15 for approach and tee to green, so perfect there. and very recently they're good stats as well. It's not like they're just season long ones that don't reflect his recent play. He's striking it great. First in driving accuracy at the Wyndham, fifth for greens in reg at St Jude. However you cook it, it's just looking good for him. And then all I wanted to know was, can he play Liberty National? Did he have some sort of strange aversion to it? But anything. But 2009, he was the halfway leader, which was quite encouraging to see. They pulled him in for interview. It says the first time he'd ever led a PGA Tour event. That was his rookie season, so that was, you know, made quite an impression on him. And then finished eighth, so really good performance. Then 2013, again started fast. He was second at halfway after 67-66. Faded a little bit, but added another top 15. And he said the course, even though it's not a Donald Ross, he said it had some attributes of Donald Ross, the sloping greens that reminded him of Raleigh, where he grew up in North Carolina. So I think he's got a course he likes, in fantastic form, hitting it great. 22-1, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a link to Augusta National as well, because when they trimmed the rough down ahead of the 2013 version, they wanted to create that Augusta National feel where you've got the big sloping greens and the rough trimmed down to a manageable level a la Augusta. So.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson's actually mentioned Augusta, although he is a member at Liberty National and he kind of got the feeling he was just doing his PR mouthpiece for it. But
which is fair enough.
Yes.
I'm going with Justin Rose as my headline selection here at 20-1.
Slightly surprised.
Yeah, slightly surprising. But I think if you get to a ball strikers course like this one, and he usually performs, and he comes out well on the numbers this week that I'm looking at. Obviously, he's a consummate ball striker at his best. And even though he only ranks 25th in tee to green this year, he's coming into this on the back of one of his best iron displays of the entire season, when he gained 5.5 strokes on approach at Southwind on his latest start en route to an 11th place finish. Prior to that, he was 20th at the Open and third at the US Open, and he comes out well on the courses that correlate with this one. I'm thinking striking tests like Torrey Pines and Augusta, and he just puts well on fast greens as well, Justin Rose. And he came alive in the playoffs last year too, finishing second in the Dell Technologies in the BMW Championship, went on to finish fourth in the Tour Championship as well. And I like the fact his schedule's been pretty light this season. I'm expecting him to really peak at the end of the season, and I can see him going well this week. He comes in a little bit under the radar, and not to be forgotten, he was tied for second at Liberty National in the 2013 Barclays, where he ranked tied second in greens in regulation and proximity to the hole. And I think he's a little bit underrated by the layers this week, Justin Rose. And I was happy to take 20s.
My fear with him, he's got, I don't know whether you could call him sort of Jordan Spieth light at the minute, but I think he's got like a collapse in him at the minute.
Do you think so?
We saw it at the Open and the US Open.
Yeah, I think...
But maybe they were tougher tests.
I think his iron play has been off because his putting has rescued him. And we saw that at the US Open a little bit. But so encouraged by that iron display at Southwind.
Yeah.
That I think that if everything clicks this week, which it could well do, because we know that Justin Rose is one of the best ball strikers on the planet when he's at his best.
Yeah.
And he's putted so well this season. If that continues and he can align that with the better iron player that he showed at Southwind, I think we might be sitting here on Sunday and thinking 20-1 was a good price.
I certainly would be,
Second selection?
Yeah, so back to the young guns. And I kind of looked at William Hill's prices, and the ones at the prices I like, 80s is Matthew Wolff.
Okay.
I think that is a nice price on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can debate all day long who's the best out of them, but he's 80-1. Morikawa is clearly shorter this week. I do like Morikawa, I have to say, for this week. But Matthew Wolff at 80s, I'm prepared to sort of pay that bigger price. Back to ball striking, he gained 13 strokes tee to green when he won the 3M Open. And then last week as well, he was fifth on approach, gained over 5.5 strokes. He's just full of confidence. I mean, you can sometimes a young player will get the win and then suddenly then what, and then they kind of react to it. And like Adam Long, for example, when he won, that was clearly, he's not the same player, but they can go backwards for a bit. But Matthew Wolff has then finished 37th at the John Deere, 24th at St Jude in a World Golf Championship event, then 19th at the Wyndham. I just think he's full of confidence. And 80-1, we were kind of saying at some point that, oh, you might not see these sort of prices on players like him anymore. Well, there is one this week, and even though it's a proper field.
Yeah. That's the only slight reservation with him, isn't it? That he's maybe padded his stats in weaker fields. You mentioned the Wyndham and the 3M Open in
but St Jude, the top 25.
Yeah, that's true.
Was good. And I think even though you get good players winning this event, there's a few who maybe got their eye on the bigger picture, you know, trying to win the last one. And especially with the rule change this year, they can think, well, I can give up three or four shots or something. And there's a few, I don't know, there's a few of the big guns who I don't think are in particularly good form. I think you can take them on. So I think someone like him, 80-1, clearly full of confidence, hitting it great, that strange swing. The way he won the 3M Open was sort of elevated him to, like, this guy just does special things. So I could see him running into a place this week.
Yeah, okay, 80-1, Matthew Wolff. I'm going half the price here. Tony Finau is my second selection at 40-1 this week. Bent grass greens, puts bent grass greens, relatively speaking, compared to the rest of his putting performances, better. But he's just slipped out of the automatic spots for the President's Cup, and I'm sure that's an end-of-season target for him. I think all the Americans will be looking at that, mainly because Tiger Woods is captaining the team, and who doesn't want to be on a Tiger Woods-led international team, I suppose. And I think Tony Finau will definitely have that as an aim, and his only win on the PGA Tour came on a coastal track at Puerto Rico. This one, obviously, in inverted commas, a coastal venue as well, kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm clutching at straws a little bit there.
By the Hudson River,
Hudson River. And it can always blow a little bit at Liberty National as well, and we saw how well he coped with those conditions at Portrush a few weeks ago in that final round. And yeah, as you mentioned, that's the big positive. He puts bent grass greens better than any other surface, and his ball striking has really returned following three missed cuts. 23rd at the 3M Open, was followed by that third at the Open Championship, and back that up with a 27th place finish at St Jude, where his short game really let him down, as it so often does. Hopefully he can have a positive putting week, and he's a really strong long iron player as well, and I'm hoping that he can contend, Tony Finau. I expected him to have a big season.
Yeah,
it's
not we
talked about this. I think it was in one of those pre-season podcasts. And
I think after he just nearly won the HSBC.
Yeah.
I like him this week as well. The President's Cup angle's interesting, because I'm sure Tiger would love to have Finau on the team. You just imagine he's good for the dressing room, don't you? Just a big, easygoing guy. Get on with everybody. So, yeah, I think Tiger will be rooting for him this week, and Finau will be, having tasted the Ryder Cup. Mm. He'll say, I want a bit more of that team atmosphere.
Yep. So he's my second selection. Let's go through some of the others then. Who came closest for you away from your two picks?
Yeah, if you're looking at ball striker, definitely Tommy Fleetwood. He's in great form at the minute. Second and fourth, last two starts, 22-1. Patrick Cantlay at 22-1. I seem to like everyone who's 22-1.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe Ricky Fowler. But Cantlay has that ball striking prowess, won at Memorial, as did Bryson DeChambeau when he won this event at a different course, but he was the Memorial winner that year.
Yeah.
So he's...
I quite like Ricky Fowler, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those on the fringes of the President's Cup team as well, and he played
it's
well.
Not done enough for me.
No, he just played really well in the President's Cup when it was hosted at Liberty National in 2017. Was ninth when the Barclays was here in 2013, sixth in the Open Championship, and he's actually only once in his last 11 measured events lost strokes gained on approach, which I think will be important this week. So, yeah, things haven't gone as he'd have liked this season since he won at Phoenix, but I think he might be there on Sunday, Fowler.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't argue it was an each-way shot. Maybe there's others I could see more likely winners at that sort of price.
I thought you might have been on Justin Thomas this week, because you put him up at Southwind, and he finished 12th, did he? 11th or 12th at Southwind, and slightly bigger price this week than he was Southwind as well.
Yeah, definitely of the top maybe six or seven. Say you're looking at the top six, Koepka, McIlroy, Johnson, Rahm, Thomas, Rose. I think Thomas, if you're playing a sweepstake, I'd happily have Thomas on my team. I don't know, is he just sort of, can he put it all together at the minute? It's just
If you don't think putting's going to be as much of a factor, I mean, that's what's held him back. And he did gain strokes with the putter at Southwind, admittedly on a different type of surface in terms of the grass.
It's just that, say, if you're looking at striking, ball striking, Simpson's striking it great and he's putting great. So I'd rather have that, the both combination than Thomas. Yeah, I sort of thought about him. Yeah. What did you think about Tiger at 25s?
I was thinking about Tiger. I mean, I don't think 25-1 is quite big enough,
right?
For Woods, I'd have to look at the weather and see if it
weather
was,
seems okay.
Yeah, if it's humid enough, I think he might. I mean, he's finished second twice here, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, could the Open, the more we found out about the Open, it was weirder by the day, wasn't it? Like he'd gone on holiday to Thailand. Well, why didn't we know that?
It was sort of not played golf for ages. It's been a bizarre approach to his competitive game since the Masters, hasn't it?
I've seen a few people just say he's lost interest since the Masters and that, you know, he'd climbed that mountain. He's slightly going through the motions again.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
But you can't. Does Tiger know?
Not the old Tiger, but we've got the new Tiger here, haven't we? The friendlier.
Yeah, more worldly wise.
More affable.
Yes.
He's doing all his stuff for Golf TV. I know he's been probably paid exorbitant amounts of money to do that stuff for Golf TV. But
you can't imagine he would have gone on a family trip before a major in the past.
Oh, no, it would never have happened 5, 6, 7 years ago, would it? Or 10 years ago, even.
But was that a particular kind of imperfect storm and then it had gone away and then the weather was terrible?
But if he has kind of lost his dedication, does he rededicate himself for just the end of season, few events at the end of the season?
I don't know. Yeah.
I
mean, clearly he'd pinpointed the Masters. He'd probably sat down and thought, you know, if you weigh everything up, the weather, the course that I know, if he'd got no course form here, I'd happily just put a line straight to him. But just those 2 seconds, even though they were a while ago, just makes you think, I wonder if he just knows how to knock it round here.
Yeah, possibly. It'd be fascinating to, in an alternate universe, if he'd finished second in the Masters, to see how the year would have progressed thereafter.
But whatever happens, it's been a sensational year.
Obviously it has. I wonder if he will rededicate himself to the game and in the pursuit of Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors in the future.
Well, I think even if he wanted to, he can't with his back. I think the more, as days go by, that Masters win seems more incredible, doesn't it? That it's actually happened.
Does it feel like when Nicklaus won his last one, that swan song?
We need a few more years to sort of put it in context, but right now it just seems, God, did that happen? And it did.
Another couple I just want to mention very quickly, Patrick Reed at 50-1. I think he'll go well. And at a massive price, Aaron Wise, who played decent golf last week. I thought he'd go well, and I think he is, I thought he was 125-1. Let me have a quick look. He's 150-1, so I think that's a decent price as well. Let's talk about hashtag your odds.
Yes.
Which I've startled you there, because I almost forgot about it as well. But we've got hashtag your odds on the website. Just go to williamhill.com and click on golf, and then you need to click on competitions down the left-hand side, and hashtag your odds is available there. And if you click hashtag your odds, you will see that ours is top of the list.
Yay.
And your pick for this week's hashtag your odds is
Tommy Fleetwood, top 10. If you go in very, very simply on the numbers, he's had 4 top 10s in his last 8 starts, 50% strike rate. We're getting, well, he was 3-1 if you're just playing him individually in that market. Fourth and second the last 2 weeks, and I think this course is right up his street.
Yeah, I like it. And I'm going Joaquin Niemann for a top 20.
Yeah. I looked at him, actually. Yeah.
So 16 to 1 it is for Neiman to finish in the top 20. I mean, I put him up last week, Neiman, and he put a pretty well on route to a 13th place finish. And he's now finished in the top 20 on four of his last six starts. And he's got a 23rd place finish in there as well. So just missing out in one of those. I mean, in weaker events than this one. But a win is coming, I think, for the Chilean. And it's hard to see it coming in a field of this strength. But I think he could easily work his way into the top 20 again, given his ball striking. So I quite like this one. Hashtag your odds. Tommy Fleetwood top 10 and Neiman top 20. 16 to 1.
Yeah, it does seem quite generous.
Seems okay,
it,
doesn't it? Really? That includes tyres as well.
Yeah, which could well come into it. Yeah, Neiman's only real sort of blob of late was in the British, was in the Open Championship.
Yeah, which you can kind of forgive, can't you?
Yeah. Although, can people forgive me saying British there?
I don't know. We'll have to open it up.
The website I was looking at when I said it.
Open it up to the listeners.
I really don't care less about that.
recap your selections then, Dave Tindall.
Yes. Webb Simpson, 22 to 1. I shall go a point and a half each way at that price. And then at 80 to 1, Matthew Wolf, I'll go a point each way at 80s.
Yeah, I'm going a point and a half each way. Justin Rose at 20 to 1 and a point each way. Tony Finau at 40 to 1. And we'll have a point between us on that. Hashtag your odds as well. 16
Can't we have
to
a point
one.
Each on it?
Do you want a point
a
each
one.
On it? Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah. Why not? Fleetwood, top 10. Neiman, top 20 at 16 to 1. Player you don't want to win?
Could say Brooks Koepka, but I suppose you've kind of paved the way for it. Justin Thomas.
Yeah, and I'd say Ricky Fowler came closest for me of the two that I went with. He was the last one off the list, so I'd go with Ricky Fowler in that particular side market we have every single week. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, thank you. And of course, next week, that thing that happens called the European Tour. We've forgotten about, yes.
Yeah.
Returns.
Well, we've got some good. It's good that the way it's split, isn't it now? Yeah, it does take over a little bit, the European. I know we've still got the FedEx Cup series continuing.
So that FedEx Cup is done by in the month of August, isn't it? And then we've got the European Tour to sort of take back control of it, which is good.
Yeah. It's good. That's the
Wentworth I'm particularly looking forward to.
I think that's
to.
Definitely a redeeming feature of the schedule, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they've kind of, in the sense that they just kind of handed it over and not try to compete up against the FedEx is decent, and then hopefully some Americans might come over if they're bored after August.
I tell you what, there's a couple being confirmed in the last week while you didn't have your Wi-Fi. Billy Horschel's playing in the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, as is Tony Finau.
Right.
So there's a couple of names that have already been
when I was in Portrush
added to the list.
My regular taxi driver, well, we had him three times, said he'd had Billy Horschel in his cab.
Oh, right, okay.
So he was a nice fella.
There you go.
Signed a golf ball or something.
Yeah.
Like they do.
I think that's the story we've got to end on this week.
So Billy Horschel clearly had a great time coming to Europe, and he's back again.
He is. Dave, thank you for your company.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. You can follow us on Twitter at dkellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website at williamhill.com and, of course, on the app as well. And make sure if there's a bet that you like the look of that's not priced up, you use the hashtag yourodds and tweet at William Hill, and the traders will endeavour to give you a price on that. Ours is 16 to 1 this week. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Drop any tweets you like to myself and Dave, and we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.